this morning will be from Luke, the 17th chapter. Luke 17, I'm going to be reading verses 11 through 19. Luke 17, verses 11 through 19. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers, who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well."
I suppose I could be accused of obviously thinking about this particular time of year and the week that we get to enjoy, we hope, with other friends and family, and if not, just to be able to enjoy being with God, but to enjoy the blessings of being a thankful people. So let's talk about that a little bit today and study this a little bit together for the next few moments. We'll turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and read what one older preacher said sounds much like the headlines of a local newspaper. Not a very pretty picture, a description of the people of the day in which Paul was writing Timothy. Let's read that together, and I want you to notice one particular word in the text, obviously. But know this in verse 1, that in the last days perilous times will come. Men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, and unthankful, and unholy, and unloving, and unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. In the middle of that, God says, one of the things that is included in this ungodly list is unthankfulness. It's hard for us to wrap our mind around the idea of being unthankful, being as bad as being brutal, or despiser of things that are good. But the Lord says, I want you to pay attention. Listen to me. It is a sin to be unthankful. So evidently it's a choice we make. We choose to be thankful. A failure to glorify God, to acknowledge who he is, to give him the honor he deserves, and being unthankful go absolutely hand in hand. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 21, which begins a discussion of ungodliness, a society that had decided that God was not going to be a part of their life, it may not have been just overt atheism, it may have been folks who had decided that, well, we think there may be a God, but we're going to dismiss him practically from our lives. We're not interested in much of anything he has to say. And so by dismissing him, it says that they became unthankful when they began to worship the creation rather than the Creator himself. And so that happens when we begin to be more enamored, enthusiastic, devoted, and concerned, and interested in worldly material things. Then the tendency then is to become unappreciative and ungrateful and unthankful for those very things that God may in fact gave us to enjoy for our good, sometimes the very things that we need, and sometimes the things that we can truly enjoy that may be beyond the limit of just what I need. And God says when that becomes your devotion, when that becomes what you worship, when that becomes what you adore, then you're just not going to find a people that are appreciative and thankful. And certainly, not thankful and appreciative to him. There's a Simpsons episode years ago that I read about. I've never been a fan of the Simpsons, probably because of things I read more than watching it, but every now and then I'm sure I caught a glimpse of it, or now and then if I was watching television. The family sat down to eat, and thanks was given, to which one of the children said this: "Why do we need to thank God for this? We got it ourselves." That's awful. That's an attitude out of hell. That's where that came from. And that's the very attitude we're talking about, or that Paul talks about in Romans chapter 1. And I need to stop and ask myself in more honest moments, do I really think about the effort and time that I put in or you put in to make the money to have the food that we eat? Is that become the focus of our life rather than to really stop and think and be thankful that God gave us everything that we have, all of the abilities, all of the time, all of the possibilities and opportunities to have what we have? That is an attitude that says, why thank God for this? We did all the work ourselves. Let's talk a little bit about some positive aspects of being thankful people. Before we do that, again, can we be described as thankful, appreciative kind of people? People that are grateful for what they have. I saw that a personalized bumper sticker once, bumper plate. And that's not hard to figure out what that means. That'd be a good one to have, wouldn't it? Be grateful. Are we? Some years ago, I was on a road trip to go see my family. And as soon as I got on the highway, I got behind a truck that was full of blacktop. On down the road, there was some stoppage in traffic because of a bridge being repaired. And then as I got finally through all of that and got out on the interstate, there was just one truck after another, and that hadn't changed much in recent years. And so I hadn't been up the road 30 minutes, and I am complaining about the truck that's in front of me, slowing me down, and having to slow down at the bridge repair, and having to weave in and out and have these trucks flying by me and going in and around them. I remember years ago I preached a sermon based on that particular experience. Would I rather just go back to dirt and mud? Let's go back to dust and dirt and just ride on a dirt road coming here. Some of you probably have lived in the area long enough to remember when some of these roads were dirt. Or how about some wagons where your wheels got dug down in the mud and you had to get out and push them? Would we rather go back to the days before blacktop? And would you rather that bridge kind of fall apart until maybe one of these days you're driving in Minneapolis and the bridge collapses and you're on it and you die? That's happened a few years ago. Or would I be thankful that they're repairing that to make sure that's safe when I'm going across that? And all of those trucks. How many of you are going to go out to eat today? Probably will, God permitting. I'm going to sit down at a table. I'm going to look at a menu. And a waiter's going to come to the table, or a waitress is going to ask me what I'd like to have. And I'm going to tell them. I do not want them to look at me and say, "I'm sorry, sir, we don't have that today." Well, why not? Well, the truck just hadn't come in. Well, why hasn't it? And that happens enough time until finally I'm going to go somewhere else and eat. Or you're going to go to the grocery store and you're going to go down there on the shelf and you're going, "Oh, they don't have it." Why not? Because the truck didn't get here. Or you're going to go to Lowe's, you're going to go to Home Depot. Or you're going to go down here and need a part at AutoZone for your car, wherever you shop. And you're going to expect it to be there the moment you walk in and lay the cash or the plastic down. And if they don't have it, you're going to be upset about it, and I'm going to be upset about it, complain and gripe about it. And then I'm going to get out on the interstate and go home and complain about all the trucks going up down the road. When it's those trucks that are delivering the goods so that they'll be on the shelf when I get there, or they're back there in the kitchen so the cook can cook it. I can eat it right now. I'm very thankful sometimes, am I? Landon Turner is a person that you don't know, but basketball fans in Indiana have a great deal of big place in our heart for Landon Turner. He's on the 1981 National Championship team. 4 months later, he's in a car wreck in eastern Indiana, and it paralyzed him, basically from his chest down. Before he went to college at Indiana, was recruited to play there, played in high school in Indianapolis. And the Bloomington newspaper, sports writers, voted him on the first team All-State team. First team All-State. Bob Hamill, in writing a story about Landon Turner, said, "One mother of all of those young boys voted onto that team wrote him a letter thanking him for voting her son onto the team." And I thought it was interesting as I read that story about Landon Turner, just recently found the book in a Goodwill. And as I read that, I thought, isn't it ironic that a secular writer takes the time to point out that one mother out of 12, or how many made the All-State team, took the time to write him to thank him for voting for her son. What's interesting to me is Landon Turner has become someone who has not allowed his disability to become a bitter person, not trying to do the very best he can with what life he has, or what ability he has. He has all of his life, but what abilities he has. And I'm often, as I read that story, I wondered, that's interesting, Landon has that attitude about life. Thankful that he's alive. Thankful that he can do what he can do. Wonder how much that had to do with Mom, who was the only person to write that letter. And I read that story and I thought about another story that we just read about that has a lot more powerful impact. Because I'm going to tell you, if you had leprosy, you had a death warrant. Slow, agonizing, ugly death. Till someday you looked in the mirror and your nose was gone, your ears were eaten away, and you had stubs for fingertips. You were going to die horribly in a confined area, in a leper colony, away from everybody else for the rest of your life. And Jesus comes along, and these 10 lepers beg for mercy. Go your way. Do what the law requires. You'll be cleansed. And on the way, that must have been a remarkable event as they began to look at each other like, look at this. And it was gone, all gone. And one of those who was a Samaritan hurried back to Jesus, fell on his face and thanked him for what he did. And even our Lord was just amazed that all of them didn't come back. Where are the rest of them? And I take some heart from that. Not heart, I'm not encouraged by it, but I recognize that what we're describing today isn't something that just became a recent, difficult problem or an issue for us in thinking about being a thankful kind of people. They didn't do it very well 2,000 years ago either. Well, let's learn to be, and we can be, and you may already be. You may be one of the most thankful people in the world. Keep it up. If you're not, let's work on it. I need to work on it. Number one, teach our children to be thankful. It is my impression that children do not and are not born with this trait. What they are born with is mine. That's mine. And even if you have one, don't try as a parent to take it away because it's mine. And now you got a wrestling match. And Christmas morning's about them. And heaven forbid if you don't get them what they ask for. And so this problem, me and mine, and they learn to cry to get what they want. And that's natural early on. But eventually they got to figure out that you don't just always get what you want because you cry about it. But it is about them. They're the center of the universe. They're the center of the world. They're the ones that, practical purposes, are entitled. I know we don't always want to hear it, but we do live in an entitled society. We point our fingers at everybody else, all government entitlements. We give people things, they don't work for it, and they're not appreciative and thankful for what they do have, and that aggravates us, and it should. But aren't we all just a little bit like that? We have really come to believe that we're entitled to certain things. Well, our children grow up that way. They come to expect to be served. And what I'm saying here right now is teach your children from the get-go to say thank you, to write notes of appreciation. And you'll be helping them become and have the kind of spirit that pleases the Lord and will be good for them. Obviously, and I've thought about this, going back to the mother of Landon Turner, what about my example? I remember on occasions where I knew I was expecting my children, and I'd get a little frustrated with them when somebody would do something for them and I didn't hear thank you from them. And another week or two later, I'd notice somebody did something for me, how little it may be, and I realized, Lee, did you say it? Maybe they learned some of that from me. Number two, thinking and thankfulness are obviously interrelated. Think leads to think. Be thoughtful. Stop, slow down, and think. We do need to stop and think others and God. David Tant wrote, "How much more satisfying our lives would be if we practice expressing thanksgiving for daily things." That's exactly right. Betsy has a doctor in Clarksville that she has been going to see that is a medical doctor, but also very interested in natural preventative health concerns, and has helped her along the way. When I had Lyme's disease last year, a little frustrated here, so I decided to go to him. I didn't want to hear him tell me how to eat, but anyway, I knew I was going to have to hear that too because I wasn't going to pay any attention to him. But one of the things we talked about my work, we talked about my attitude and my spirit. But he asked me, he said, "How much time do you spend in grateful prayer?" And that's pretty humbling to come from a doctor, you know. I wasn't ready to hear a sermon when I got there. But he said, "Do you begin your day with thankfulness? Do you begin your day with gratitude?" And he began to emphasize, and has emphasized every time we ever got together, although thankfully about 2 weeks ago he said, "You're released, I'm done with you." I was glad he was after the last blood work. But he said, "You need to learn to be grateful." And he could tell I was kind of stressed and unhappy about some things. And so that's important. And I think it is. It doesn't make all the problems in life go away, but it does help us approach them differently, do it with a different spirit. It doesn't mean to overlook the bad, overlook the sinfulness that's in the world, that's in my own life, and maybe in the life of somebody else. But it might keep me from being so negative. To be able to see the good, and to be appreciative, and to thank others for the good that we see in them. Do you give a thankful wave to the driver that let you cut in on the road? Betsy's probably listening to me as I drive. When I let somebody in and they just go by as if, you know, well, I was entitled to that, and I'll, you know what I'll do? Thank you. I know they can't hear me, but I'll say it for them. I'd like to hear it. But is that a message to me that I want to hear it? But do I do it? See how that works? I can see it in somebody else, but what about me? Do I thank the waitress who refills my glass of water? Do you thank the cashier at the store who rings up your order? Do you thank your wife for preparing the meal? Do you thank your husband for washing your car? Do you thank those who have done even small favors for you? David went on to write. You may think, well, that's what they're supposed to do. So what? Does that fact that someone does what they're supposed to do mean that their needs are not worthy of a simple thank you? And the answer to that is they deserve and ought to be thanked. In Ephesians 5 and verse number 4, you read this passage with me, he says, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. I have found in that passage that replacing the evil with the good, that the lips that spend the time expressing thankfulness rather than talking foolishly and in coarse jesting can mean something that's harsh and unkind. So it's interesting that the Lord is telling us through Paul, stop and think about what you talk about or what you say. And what we say or talk about, it can be an expression of the heart, the will that's already and think. And when we stop and are more thoughtful and thankful, perhaps we'll see our speech become less harsh and severe. It's a hard one for us, apparently, and that's contentment. The Apostle Paul encourages us by telling us that he had to learn contentment. I don't know all that may mean for him. I don't know that Paul regretted one moment becoming a servant of the Lord and a gospel preacher, and what all he may have given up and abandoned, as he talks about earlier in chapter 2 of the book of Philippians, chapter 3, I'm sorry. But he says in verse number 11, "Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I've learned how to be abased and know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I've learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." I'm encouraged by the idea that Paul had to learn that. Maybe that wasn't something he was really good at when he first became a Christian. We're a society that has so much, we know that. And this begins to be one of those points that I've made over the years that I wonder what my intention is just to make all of us feel really bad about everything we have. And I've given up on that because it doesn't work. But every one of us knows that we have more than we need. Look up a basic definition of rich. I'm going to give you the basic Webster's definition: having more than enough. Who doesn't that include? We do have a lot. We call them blessings sometimes. I've come to refer to much of them as cursings. So many warnings in Scripture about the love of money, not money itself, but the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Those who love it, desire it, covetousness, greedy, think about it, seem more than the good things of God. The spiritual things seem to fall into a trap of not being very thankful and appreciative of what we have. I am going to show you something that David Tan, some years ago, showed me this picture, the next picture I'm about to show you, the next two. I emailed him this week, was asking him if he had these pictures. I didn't have copies of them, and he was glad to forward them on to me. This is Sandra Green and five of her children. I believe the young lady to her right is a young girl that she took in after her mother had died and the father didn't want her anymore. David said he had no idea where Sandra's husband was. He simply wasn't in the picture providing for her or those children. David said in one of his trips to Jamaica that he had given them a ride one day apparently, and she brought the kids to the VBS, and that in the next trip that he made, I don't remember how long that was after that, but Sandra obeyed the gospel. Became a Christian. So you're looking at a sister in Christ. Again, I don't know exactly how many years that's been. But here's a woman with six children living in that. An 8x10 shack, no utilities. The furniture was two beds, and all seven of them slept on those two beds. Now, you look at that and you feel sorry for her. Think, boy, that, you know, I obviously didn't sleep in anything like that today. I slept in a bedroom about three times that size, probably. But he said he remembered, I guess, the first time he went up there. And he found this on the wall. Where am I at? I'm sitting here flipping through and not paying attention. I'm sorry. He found this on the wall. Thank you, Lord. My needs are met, and healing is mine. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now that's humbling. She's thankful for what she had. Oh, boy. We have all we have. We need to be thankful for what we have. We are a blessed people. We do get a little spoiled, don't we? I'll give you another report. Bobby Graham, a friend and gospel preacher in Alabama who makes several trips to Belize, I think about once or twice a year, Central America country. And he wrote, so many of us are spoiled people because we have not had to want or need. He says, wealth makes for the spirit of pride and independence, both of which can inflate our self-estimate, deaden our spirits, and shrink our hearts. It would do many good to do without sometimes. When in a foreign land it becomes clear that we do not have to have all that we have, hot water and showers, electricity, indoor plumbing, water all the time, hair dryers, electric razors, televisions, computers, pretty home furnishings, sidewalks, paved roads, chairs for all the visitors, a bed for each family member, or a nice house. How often have we thought that we had to have these? We are blessed and ought to be thankful. I don't think that means I need to go home and build a shack out back and live in the kind of place that Sandra lived in, or that I have to quit paying my electric bill or build an outhouse behind my house, although I built a little shed a while back and I told Betsy that's what it was, but anyway, it's not. I don't intend to start doing that again. I've done that as a child, a long time ago as a little boy. And I'm grateful. And some of those things have been for our betterment, have allowed us to have the time, energy to do some other things, the conveniences that we have. But let's now and then just stop and just make sure we thank God. And maybe learn to be content. Maybe along the line decide, I don't need any more than this. And quit trying to have more than you have. And next year, if you get a raise, don't spend up. Oh, well, now I can go out. No, why not take that and maybe do something more important with it. So the fact of the matter is, we have more than we need. Maybe learn to do a little bit less. It'd be good for us. Finally this morning, and I have noticed today, and because of this sermon, we just sang a song about gratitude and thankfulness. Our brother who led the prayer a while ago, I noticed a number of times in his prayer, thanking God for what we have. I believe we may have missed it. And maybe us preachers are the ones that are guilty of this more than anything else. We come together and we sing and we're thankful to sing. We eat the Lord's Supper with thankfulness. Prayers are led that many thanks are given. And then the preacher gets up and lets us all have it, and so we leave here and feel like we've been whipped instead of thankful. There are moments we need to be reproved. I know that. But I believe the purpose of worship is an occasion for all of us together to express our thanksgiving to God. And we need to keep using it as that because we need it. Let me read a couple of passages together with you. One of them is in the book of Ezra. When Ezra was leading the people of God in rebuilding the city of Jerusalem and restoring the worship there around the temple, they began by building the temple first. The first thing they had to do was to lay the foundation of the temple. And when that foundation had been laid in verse 10 and verse 11, and the priests stood up in their arrangements according to the things that David had commanded years earlier. It says they sang responsively back and forth. One would sing one part and another would respond to that singing part, much as we do in some of the choruses of our songs. Praising and giving thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever toward Israel. Then all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. Our foundation is Jesus Christ, Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And so when we understand that our foundation has been laid, we ought to sing responsively with great gladness and joy in our hearts as well. In 1 Corinthians 14, in describing how an assembly ought to be conducted, he says in verse 16, otherwise, if you bless with the Spirit, how will he who occupies the place of the unformed say amen at the giving of your giving of thanks, since he doesn't understand what you say? For you indeed give thanks well, but the other is not edified. Talking about if they did that in an do it so that others can understand why, so they can hear your thankfulness. It's important for visitors, especially those who are not Christians, to come in an assembly like ours and to at least have some sense that we are a people thankful to God, thankful for what we have, thankful for all the blessings we have in Him. David went on to write again, David Tant, "Those who are the children of God have more reason than anyone on earth to be thankful. We have reason to be thankful for salvation from sin, the hope of heaven, an understanding of the meaning of life, freedom from worry, the right to pray with confidence that our prayers will be heard, and the fellowship with those of like precious faith." And those are just a few of the things that we ought to be thankful for. I really believe that this is one area in which we can separate ourselves from the world. Somebody says, "I want to make a difference. I want people to know that I'm a Christian." We'll start today telling the waiter, the cashier, that you appreciate the work they've done in making sure you had everything you need. I know some are better than others, and I know there's an occasion or two you may have to look at them and say, you know, maybe try to help them do a little better next time. I understand that. But by and large, people are going to look at us and they're going to see a thankful spirit. And if they do that, that might raise some questions in their mind. It might cause them to say, "I don't know what it is you have, but I'd like to have some of that for myself. I want to be a thankful, appreciative person and let our light shine in this world." And we do that, I think some good things can happen, especially just our faithfulness to God, if not anything else. That we've decided we're going to obey Him. And I don't want to be thankful just for the sake of being thankful, just to obey Him. But I think it's something we can learn to do from the heart, because it's expression truly of our will, and that when we do that, we'll benefit from that. And so will those that we appreciate and thankful to as well. Song of invitation is going to be sung now to invite anyone in this audience that may not be a Christian. We'd like for you to be one of us, because we're in the Lord, we're His, we belong to Him. He has saved us by His grace and mercy. He has taken away our sins by the blood of His Son. And when we were washed in that blood, He washed them all away, took them all away. And may God help us then from now on to be thankful, if nothing else. We end up someday with nothing at all, we can thank God for forgiveness and hope of eternal life. Come on, join with us. If we can help you in any way, come while we stand and sing as Marley leads us.
Wow.